When you think about Siemens Energy, does nuclear power come to mind? Perhaps not. However, the company has been operating in the sector for decades, providing critical components on the conventional island side and supporting innovation in the field of nuclear. To learn more about how Siemens Energy supports new nuclear, as well as plant life extension and even fusion, I speak to Dr. Doug Martin, Manager of Conventional Island Equipment for Nuclear Power Plants at Siemens Energy. Dagmar unpacks the factors driving and hindering the nuclear renaissance and the potential impacts of increasing standardization, modularization, and harmonization across countries committed to nuclear power. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. This episode is brought to you in partnership with Siemens Energy. Dagmar, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about nuclear energy. Many of our listeners might not realize that Siemens Energy has a long-standing relationship with nuclear energy. You know, when we think about turbines and Siemens Energy, it seems to be a little bit more intuitive. So our minds don't automatically go to nuclear. So enlighten us about your history in the sector.
You're right. Many of your listeners, but as well, also many of our customers have asked us about this. So Siemens Energy has been actually a long-time participant in the nuclear power industry. And while we no longer build reactors as a company, we're still active on the steam side, selling critical components for the conventional island. And so looking at this end, there's actually 60 plus years of nuclear experience that Siemens Energy and predecessors have. And so overall, what does that mean, not only in time, but maybe also in numbers of components? There's actually 120 plus global experience in commissioning of nuclear steam turbines within this company. And we've always maintained the know-how through successful retrofit market service, through modifications and upgrades and lifetime extensions, and also quite recently supporting restart projects of entire nuclear power plants where we support on the conventional island side with our experience and our expertise.
That is quite broad indeed. Dagmar, tell me your opinion on this talk around the nuclear renaissance, because there is quite a feeling, I think, that nuclear is becoming a lot more popular, especially as the demand for baseload power increases. My question to you is, how is this renaissance impacting Siemens Energy? Is it impacting, and will you see this impact grow?
Well, in general, as you say, will it grow? As we see currently, there's a general increase across the overall power market. And that is then also related to the nuclear sector. If you just look at the percentage that nuclear plays in the overall power market. So, and as we see that there's actually many technologies that will be needed to reach climate targets, and some countries go different ways on this road, that Siemens Energy also says, well, we do believe that if a country decides to take on nuclear energy in this path, then we would support with what I just said on the conventional island side. And so if you look at the overall growing market, then this situation actually poses a challenge for all market participants. So, of course, we also see that. And every company, every country certainly has their own strategy for optimizing themselves or for reaction to this expanding market. And so if we, for example, look at, I mean, one well-known analysis out there is, for example, McCoy, where you see what has been delivered over the years, and you always see these increases and decreases. So there have already been this such adaptations to the market. And this will be the case in this market change as well. So we do see that there is a general increase in the market. We also see that with this new nuclear or this nuclear renaissance, there's actually more focus also on overall standardization or harmonization of requirements. That is actually also a means that could be used to remove burden off this entire supply chain. So if you think of an increase, for example, in combined cycles, there's also steam turbines and generators involved. And if you then think of an increase in the nuclear supply chain, they will also need steam turbines and generators. So this will be a burden or some increased effort to the entire supply chain. And of course, we do see this as a company as well.
Dagmar, when you talk about the nuclear renaissance, what do you think is actually driving this? And perhaps I can also ask you if there are certain factors that are hindering this nuclear renaissance as well. I mean, I know you mentioned harmonization, which is not something that we usually associate. I think nuclear is very regulated and it's not very standardized. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. And again, it still really is an important part. So, what is driving? That's what you were asking first. So, there's actually generally four areas that are somehow intertwined, and there's some general policy in each country. Then, of course, investment is a huge topic in nuclear, then energy security of each country, and then, of course, any technology changes or adaptations. So those four are closely intertwined. So if we first look at energy security, many countries try to reach energy security through diversification. So they use a variety of technologies that ideally complement each other. And as said before, nuclear could be one of these technologies to be part of the energy security of a country. Investment is very important in nuclear. It needs adequate investment to deliver pushes in technology development. And of course, specifically in nuclear, it also needs quite significant investment if we think of large nuclear power plants that have been around for a while. And then you were mentioning, yeah, highly regulated. So policy is a very important topic. So the situation varies there from country to country. And if a country strongly promotes nuclear as a part of their energy security, then there's also actually a major push for the development of nuclear power plants in that respective country. So that may be, on the one hand, regarding investment in new projects that are being built, that may be, on the other hand, also in technologies that are being developed and improved for nuclear. So, in terms of what could be driving it, or what hopefully will be driving it significantly, is also the topic of harmonization actually between countries that support nuclear. So, as you said, it's highly regulated. So, each country has their own regulation and their own processes and their licensing criteria. But also, there have been several countries and regulatory bodies that have already started efforts to align between countries so that they would not have to have an entirely new process for one and the same technology to go through different countries, but that if, for example, one country already licensed a specific technology, that other countries would go along or only have less effort in licensing that same technology for their country. So, harmonization for the regulatory side, but also harmonization or standardization of components can be helpful. Think of a specific part of a nuclear power plant, and even on the conventional island side, that would be standardized and could be reused for other companies, for other technologies, so that a specific OEM, the manufacturer of this component, would only have to build and license this one specific component, and it could be reused in other cases. That would be definitely driving the momentum for nuclear. So, but of course, as you said, you were also asking for what could be hindering it. So the opposite, of course, is true as well. So on the one hand, if there's adequate policy and active support of countries and governments, for example, regarding financing such projects, this would be driving the momentum. But if that is not available, then of course the lack of this would significantly be hindering nuclear. But also looking at this very specific regulatory boundary in one country and a different specific regulatory boundary in the next country, this is something which would be hindering the growth of nuclear market, because you have to do a lot of effort in all of the documentation that is needed for licensing and the regulatory approval. So if that difference between countries, you increase the effort, which increases the price, which increases then, of course, also the financing needs. So this would be one thing driving the momentum, other thing hindering at the same time if it's there or if it's lacking it.
Speaking of this whole nuclear renaissance, it's not just new nuclear that I wanted to ask you about today. It's also about the fact that plants are increasingly being modernized and their lives are extended. And I just want to touch on that trend for a moment. In terms of modernizing power islands and steam turbines, what role do you think this is actually going to play in this larger Renaissance picture?
It's actually I would say, the short-term answer, in a way. In terms of, for example, Siemens Energy has really consistently ensured the safe and reliable operation of all those nuclear power plants where we were involved with our components. And that may have been, for example, through upgrades, through modernizations of these conventional island equipments, to accommodate, on the one hand, the reactor upgrades, which always usually happen during the course of the life cycles, but also to always bring in the latest technology to improve also the safety and reliable operation of these power plants. So if you look at an existing nuclear power plant and you can bring in some upgrades or modifications for lifetime extensions of this power plant, this would be the, yeah, as I said, the short-term answer, because you could increase the overall lifetime and enhance, therefore, your use or your share of nuclear in your power market for a long time. So this process of lifetime extensions could be adding another 20 years, for example, of additional power production to an existing nuclear power plant. On the other hand, as I mentioned before, if you look at restarting nuclear power plants that have rather recently been decommissioned, you could, for example, look at the Palisades nuclear power plant in the United States, where our company, Siemens Energy, supports by inspecting, refurbishing, and upgrading the conventional island. So this is also then rather a short or mid-term support to this nuclear renaissance. Same thing, for example, the modifications and upgrades, as we've supported or are still supporting on Byron and Braidwood nuclear power plants, where Siemens Energy will install 12 low-pressure steam turbines at the Constellation sites in Illinois. And this will actually increase the output of those nuclear power plants by about 135 megawatts for the entire power plant. So that would be enough to power an additional 100,000 homes out of an existing nuclear power plant. I think these lifetime extensions and upgrades really support the nuclear renaissance, if you so will, by utilizing existing equipment and making it or increasing its capability.
Looking forward, Dagmar, where do you see the major technology developments happening? Is it going to be in conventional nuclear power or perhaps SMRs? And really, there's a lot of people talking about SMRs at the moment. It's almost a buzzword within the sector.
Yeah, you're right. It almost is a buzzword, SMR, but SMR, let's spell it out for a moment, small modular reactors. It, in the first place, really says that they're smaller than what we have seen on the conventional nuclear power plants, even that may sound a bit funny. So it really depends if you look at the different types of reactors. On the conventional island side, however, the general solution is pretty much the same. It may be smaller, but Nonetheless, it's still going to be turbines and generators and auxiliaries, etc. So, what is a bit of a difference is in this word of modular with the small modular reactors, where there's actually more of a focus or a higher level of modularization required for these power plants and a higher level of standardization requested. So, I guess there's going to be a bit more effort on such modularization of components and standardization of such, as I mentioned before. But if then also you look at history, then in general case, you would see that any power plant starts at kind of a smaller size, which for example would be nowadays small modular reactor size. And then you have generally something like the bigger the power plant, the smaller is the specific CapEx that you would need. Now, for small modular reactors, there is the idea that with the standardization and modularization, you could pre-configure more components at a factory, therefore achieve greater speed in production and also a higher cost efficiency. And then this modularity is supposed to also decrease the overall price for the nuclear power plant. So there is going to be also some of this effort will, I would say, spill over also to the concept of the larger nuclear power plant so that they will also have a positive impact through all of this effort for standardization and modularization. So for us, it's a bit hard to say where is going to be the major technology development, but looking at the part of the conventional power, or conventional island of the power plants, it most likely will be more in this modularization and standardization of components on this end.
Speaking of looking to the future, Dagmar, what is the role of existing technologies in futuristic plants, such as fusion, for example? And how is Siemens Energy playing in this space?
Yeah, so you mentioned fusion, and that's in the end just a different type of a reactor or a different type of heat production compared to the what is now being called nuclear power plants, which are fission power plants. So here again, from the power island's perspective, it's really just heat that's being fed into a steam turbine as steam. And we as Siemens Energy, we're actually technology neutral observer with our components for the conventional island side. And so therefore, there's actually a facilitator of transformative innovations in the energy sector on this end. And if you look at the overall development phase, which is to be expected or seen, then we're actually collaborating with companies to support this transition into commercial technologies. So there's a lot of fusion startups, and there has been a lot of research and development being done over the last years and decades. And there's still most likely a long road to go. But on the other hand, nobody can really say how long this road will be. Just to give you an example, when I was at university a while ago, we always said, well, there's the so-called time constant of nuclear fusion, and that says that 40 years from now, it will be commercially available. So that was when I was at university. Nowadays, these 40 years are not 40 years anymore, but maybe less than 30. Some people say 20 years, so please don't ask me for any specific date. But we definitely, as Siemens Energy, are in contact with specific companies, and we very closely observe what's happening. And as said, for us, it's just a different type of a heat source.
Indeed. To conclude, Dagmar, we've been speaking about Siemens Energy and nuclear in the same conversation, and I think it would be great for our listeners in the future, if they hear Siemens Energy, to think about nuclear. What exactly should they think about?
I should think about a company that has been in there for more than 60 years and knows what they are doing, and a company that is providing critical components on the conventional island side and supporting also innovations in the field of nuclear. And that from a standpoint of a technology neutral observer and supporting innovations on that field.
Well, I believe that this conversation has really enlightened our listeners and hopefully broadened their perspectives on what Siemens Energy is all about and how you really do support the nuclear sector. Dagmar, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Pamela.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.